Chapter 5, Section 3. Economy in the Generation and Transmission of Power, and in Buildings. In his October 1852 report, L. Horner quotes a letter of the famous engineer James Naismith of Patricroft, the inventor of the steam hammer, which, among other things, contains the following. The public are little aware of the vast increase in driving power which has been obtained by such changes of system and improvements of steam engines as I allude to. The engine power of this district, Lancashire, lay under the incubus of timid and prejudiced traditions for nearly 40 years, but now we are happily emancipated. During the last 15 years, but more especially in the course of the last 4 years, since 1848, some very important changes have taken place in the system of working condensing steam engines. The result has been to realize a much greater amount of duty or work performed by the identical engines, and that again at a very considerable reduction of the expenditure of fuel. For a great many years after the introduction of steam power into the mills and manufactories of the above-named districts, the velocity of which it was considered proper to work condensing steam engines was about 220 feet per minute of the piston. That is to say, an engine with a 5 feet stroke was restricted by rule to make 22 revolutions of the crankshaft per minute. Beyond this speed it was not considered prudent or desirable to work the engine, and as all the mill gearing were made suitable to this 220 feet per minute speed of piston, this slow and absurdly restricted velocity ruled the working of such engines for many years. However, at length, either through fortunate ignorance of the rule, or by better reasons on the part of some bold innovator, a greater speed was tried, and as the result was highly favourable, others followed the example, by, as it is termed, letting the engine away, namely, by so modifying the proportions of the first motion wheels of the mill gearing, as to permit the engine to run at 300 feet, and upwards, per minute, while the mill gearing generally was kept at its former speed. This letting the engine away has led to the almost universal speeding of engines, because it was proved that not only was there available power gained from the identical engines, but also as the higher velocity of the engine yielded a greater momentum in the flywheel, the motion was found to be much more regular. We obtain more power from a steam engine by simply permitting its piston to move at a higher velocity, pressure of steam and vacuum in the condenser remaining the same. Thus, for example, suppose any given engine yields 40 horsepower when its piston is travelling at 200 feet per minute. If, by suitable arrangement or modification, we can permit this same engine to run at such a speed as that its piston will travel through space at 400 feet per minute, pressure of steam and vacuum, as before said, remaining the same, we shall then have just double the power. And as the pressure by steam and vacuum is the same in both cases, the strain upon the parts of this engine will be no greater at 400 than at 200 feet speed of piston, so that the risk of breakdown does not materially increase with the increase of speed. All the difference is that we shall, in such case, consume steam at a rate proportional to the speed of piston, or nearly so, and there will be some small increase in the wear and tear of the brasses or rubbing parts, but so slight as to be scarcely worth notice. But in order to obtain increase of power from the same engine by permitting its piston to travel at a higher velocity, it is requisite to burn more coal per hour under the same boiler, or employ boilers of greater evaporating capabilities, that is, greater steam-generating powers. This accordingly was done, and boilers of greater steam-generating or water-evaporating powers were supplied to the old speeded engines, and in many cases near 100% more work was got out of the identical engines by means of such changes. About 10 years ago, the extraordinary economical production of power as realized by the engines employed in the mining operations of Cornwall began to attract attention. And as competition in the spinning trade forced manufacturers to look to savings as the chief source of profits, the remarkable difference in the consumption of coal per horsepower per hour, as indicated by the performance of the Cornish engines, as also the extraordinary economical performance of Wolff's double-cylinder engines, began to attract increased attention to the subject of economy of fuel in this district. And as the Cornish and double-cylinder engines gave a horsepower for every 3.5 to 4 pounds of coal per hour, while the generality of cotton mill engines were consuming 8 or 12 pounds per horse per hour, so remarkable a difference induced mill owners and engine makers in this district to endeavour to realise, by the adoption of similar means, such extraordinary economical results as were proved to be common in Cornwall and France, where the high price of coal had compelled manufacturers to look more sharply to such costly departments of their establishments. The result of this increased attention to economy of fuel has been most important in many respects. In the first place, many boilers, the half of whose surface had been in the good old times of high profits left exposed quite naked to the cold air, began to get covered with thick blankets of felt and brick and plaster, and other modes and means whereby to prevent the escape of that heat from their exposed surface, which had cost so much fuel to maintain. Steam pipes began to be protected in the same manner, and the outside of the cylinder of the engine felted and cased in with wood in like manner. Next came the use of high steam, namely, instead of having the safety valve loaded so as to blow off at 4, 6, or 8 pounds to the square inch, it was found that by raising the pressure to 14 or 20 pounds, a very decided economy of fuel resulted. In other words, the work of the mill was performed by a very notable reduced consumption of coals. And those who had the means and the boldness carried the increased pressure and expansion system of working to the full extent by employing properly constructed boilers to supply steam of 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70 pounds to the square inch. Pressures which would have frightened an engineer of the old school out of his wits. But as the economic results of so increasing the pressure of steam soon appeared in most unmistakable pound shillings and pence forms, the use of high-pressure steam boilers for working condensing engines became almost general, and those who desired to go to the full extent soon adopted the employment of the Wolff engine in its full integrity, and most of our mills lately built are worked by the Wolff engines, namely, those on which there are two cylinders to each engine, in one of which the high-pressure steam from the boiler exerts or yields power by its excess of pressure over that of the atmosphere, which, instead of the said high-pressure steam being let pass off at the end of each stroke, free into the atmosphere, is caused to pass into a low-pressure cylinder of about 4 times the area of the former, and after due expansion passes to the condenser. The economic result obtained from engines of this class is such that the consumption of fuel is at the rate of from 3.5 to 4 pounds of coal per horse per hour, while in the engines of the old system the consumption used to be on the average from 12 to 14 pounds per horse per hour. By an ingenious arrangement, the Wolff system of double-cylinder, or combined low- and high-pressure engine, has been introduced extensively to already existing engines, whereby their performance has been increased both as to power and economy of fuel. The same result has been in use these 8 or 10 years, by having a high-pressure engine so connected with a condensing engine as to enable the waste steam of the former to pass on to and work the latter. This system is in many cases very convenient. Quote, it would not be very easy to get an exact return as to the increase of performance or work done by the identical engines to which some or all of these improvements have been applied. I am confident, however, that from the same weight of steam engine machinery we are now obtaining at least 50% more duty or work performed on the average, and that in many cases the identical steam engines, which in the days of the restricted speed of 220 feet per minute yielded 50 horsepower, are now yielding upwards of 100. The very economical results derived from the employment of high-pressure steam in working condensing steam engines, together with the much higher power required by mill extensions from the same engines, has within the last 3 years led to the adoption of tubular boilers, yielding a much more economical result than those formerly employed in generating steam for mill engines. Unquote. Reports of the Inspector of Factories, October 1852. What applies to power generation also applies to power transmission and working machinery. Quote, the rapid strides with which improvement in machinery has advanced within these few years have enabled manufacturers to increase production without additional moving power. The more economical application of labour has been rendered necessary by the diminished length of the working day, and in most well-regulated mills an intelligent mind is always considering in what manner production can be increased with decreased expenditure. I have before me a statement kindly prepared by a very intelligent gentleman in my district, showing the number of hands employed, their ages, the machines at work, and the wages paid from 1840 to the present time. In October 1840, his firm employed 600 hands, of whom 200 were under 13 years of age. In October last, 350 hands were employed, of whom 60 only were under 13. The same number of machines, within very few, were at work, and the same sum in wages was paid at both periods. Unquote. Redgrave's report in Reports of the Inspector of Factories, October 1852. These improvements of the machinery do not show their full effect until they are used in new, appropriately arranged factories. Quote, as regards the improvement made in machinery, I may say in the first place that a great advance has been made in the construction of mills adapted to receive improved machinery. In the bottom room, I double all my yarn, and upon that single floor, I shall put 29,000 doubling spindles. I effect a saving of labour in the room and shed of at least 10%, not so much from any improvement in the principle of doubling yarn, but from a concentration of machinery under a single management. And I am enabled to drive the said number of spindles by one single shaft, a saving in shafting, compared with what other firms have to use to work the same number of spindles, of 60%, in some cases 80%. There is a large saving in oil and shafting, and in grease. With superior mill arrangements and improved machinery, at the lowest estimate I have effected a saving in labour of 10%. A great saving in power, coal, oil, tallow, shafting, and strapping. Unquote. Evidence of a cotton spinner. Reports of the Inspector of Factories, October 1863.